WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We're keeping calm. We are staying completely local. Don Moeller's over at Catonsville. He's going to join us for this Baltimore Positive segment on one of my favorite museums. Before we do that, though, got to give a little love to our sponsors here that once things get going, we get back downtown, we will encourage you to stop by and see our friends at Fately's in Lexington Market. Belly up to the bar for a beer, oyster, fried fish, anything you want. But you can curbside take away some Fately's crab cakes as well. At State Fair over at Catonsville, Don Moeller's over there at Frederick Road. And he's lucky because he can just run up there and brown bag, pull it out, and come home, make some of that great food that Evan's packing up for folks, or get the chicken and waffles, or the shrimp and grits, or the wings, or any of the burgers and other stuff. And, of course, I'll let you tell him about your lad, Jeff Moeller, who is proudly closing deals here with Moeller and Gary Realty right now.
Yeah, we're delighted that Moeller and Gary Realtors, as one of the sponsors of Baltimore Positive, Jeff Moeller, 410-746-1547. Jeff, listing homes, selling homes, settling homes. It's amazing what they're doing throughout the pandemic and able to give virtual tours and just continue to keep the real estate market moving forward. So we thank Jeff. We thank all of our friends at KO Public Affairs, Damian O'Doherty, Steve Carney and the gang. Appreciate all their support. And Nestor, another museum that's just a stone's throw from your house.
Well, and a place I've been many times too.
So this is with Arts Week 2. And we want to thank Fronda Cohen, who we brought out of retirement to be the executive producer for all of these segments. Rhonda, longtime supporter of the arts, outstanding communications specialist in Baltimore County government. We appreciate her effort. And Nestor, I know you know our next guest and you know this museum, so kick us off.
Well, whether it's, you know, being over there grabbing lunches I've done with my wife, you know, over the course of time with some great meals as well as some evening events, I was very, very disappointed last month at the beginning of COVID that we couldn't do the National Kidney Foundation event Sante that I've done so many times at the American Visionary Art Museum. If you're familiar with where the Ritz-Carlton homes are and across the street, you see the big glittery building with the big glittery, I call it the Partridge Family bus out in front with all sorts of cool stuff. Rebecca Hofberger has been doing this for forever. I've seen her get up and give these speeches about the history and the boldness and the vision of AVAM, as we say, AVAM.org. We can find it out there. You know, I'm going to be over to see you soon. We're going to start having events and bringing people together at some point here. But I did miss out last month, and I'm just delighted that you're going to spend a little bit of time getting us inspired through art and whatnot, but telling us what we're missing out on. And I'm already looking up on your website, Rebecca, and I see that you're closed, but you're still sort of open. You artists are never closed, are they?
Well, we've been putting out so much curriculum for families to do at home and fun stuff of any age, kids of every age, also in Spanish, also closed captioned. And we just did a virtual tour of our Secret Life of Earth show just in time for the 50th anniversary of Earth Day. And we had more than 400 people sign up. So the hunger to stay connected is certainly out there.
Well, we talk about art museums and the Walters and the BMA, or, you know, any of the sort of Smithsonian type of institutions that folks would say, well, I went to that museum or that art museum. Your place is a little different, right? And, you know, as designed, and, you know, look, I have a loud shirt, a loud jacket. There's never a time I come into your place where I'm not dressed for the Visionary Art Museum, where you don't say, nice shirt, nice jacket. Yeah, you know, so I'm a little bit artsy in my own sort of way, but your place speaks more to me. No disrespect to the Cohn sisters and Matisse or anything else that I could have here in the city, but there is something very visually stimulating, I should say, about your place.
Well, Nestor, when you see those glittering, blinged walls that got like one of the 10 best, most beloved blinged out buildings in the world awards, let me just say this. With the smallest of all the cultural majors' budgets, there are only 7 national lists that give one attraction per state. It could be anything, a ballpark, it could be anything, you know, museum. And we are it. AVAM is the selection to represent the state of Maryland on everything from Oprah's Destinations to U.S. News and World Report, USA Today, etc., where they provide only one must-see attraction per state, and we're very proud of that. When you see those glittering, beautiful walls, they're not just beautiful. They constitute the largest apprenticeship program for incarcerated and youth at risk.
Now, hold on here. I was always wondering, how did that building get to look like that? So that was built by...
The mosaics were done as an apprenticeship program, because when you come out of the juvie system, et cetera, sometimes it's very hard to get any work. But we felt they could always learn commercial tiling. So places like it was Javen Schaefer as well as Whiting Turner would come and see the apprentice skills, and they were so blown away. And now those, you know, many of those are now grown up and come back, and they get lifelong membership to the museum for having worked the beautiful mirrored mosaic on the wall. And if you look carefully, you'll see planets, and those are the signature of every kid who works and learned those skills on that beautiful wall.
Next time I'm over there, I'm going to stop and stare, Don. I'm going to learn about all of it, but we can't go in right now, but you can certainly go to avam.org. Don, I know you're artsy as well, right?
Well, it's interesting. I took a quick break between shows and ran down to get a glass of water, and my wife, Linda, said, who are you interviewing next? I said, well, we've got Rebecca coming on from American Visionary Arts. She goes, oh, says, you know, I can't wait to go back there. She said, you know, get us some tickets. I mean, it is interesting that people are passionate. Yeah. I've got a sister who's an art teacher. I've got, you know, grandchildren. I've got a daughter-in-law who's artistic. I got a daughter who's an elementary school principal. So they all love the museum scene. Rebecca, you're like the proud mama of this thing. Not only are you the director, you're the founder. So talk to us and our listeners about what your vision was way back when, in the early 1990s, when you saw this thing in your head, you wanted to create it. Here we are decades later, and it just flourishes. Take us through the journey from the beginning.
Well, the late Jim Rouse, the great humanitarian developer, said, cities were meant to be gardens in which to grow beautiful people. And I just felt like I wanted to have a place which would look at all the most important things, the things that bedevil us as well as inspire us from the get-go, from the time that there have been human beings, and to present these thematic exhibitions every year in a way that would be of interest to both a little three-year-old kid staggering in and looking up and seeing a life-size Icarus go slowly up our main stairs, or to a Nobel Prize winner. And right from the beginning, we've now birthed, I've picked every one of 40 original themes since we opened for these mega exhibitions. And, you know, I use the museum as a scam to get on the phone to anybody I've ever really admired. So I've worked with Archbishop Desmond Tutu and, you know, a famed inventor, you know, Dean Kamen, and just, you know, Ray Kurzweil on the singularity and the impact of technology on our life. You know, just everything you can imagine. Jerry Garcia's widow came, and even though I don't know any of their music, she was so moved. She put us in her will, you know. So it has really attracted people from all over, and whether it's our outdoor movies in the Hughes Family Flicks from the Hill, free movies under the stars. And there was another difficult time for Baltimore City, post Freddie Gray, where many people, conventions were canceled, etc. But I thought, who's going to feel good about sitting up on our hill and, you know, coming to see the museum for free right before the movie start? We had record crowds. So the desire to be in a healing, loving place that transcends things and is more about the essence of what it is to be alive was so powerful that, you know, it attracted people. And then, you know, about our kinetic sculpture race, the big pink Fifi poodle, the genius of one of our staff, has inspired so many school kids to build their own kinetic sculpture. And so, you know, this is the first year we've had to cancel. And schools work all year round, as well as adults of every age. and they have to pedal a giant sculpture with no fossil fuel, uphill, downhill, over mud pits, 15 miles around the city of Baltimore, and then float over the harbor. And that's the kinetic sculpture race that's twice been the front page of the Wall Street Journal as a feature. So, you know, we try to do things with very little money, but that embrace and inspire and bring everybody together. And it's the National Museum, the original view, that it's intuitive self-taught artistry. We don't say you're damaged goods if you've had a few months of art school, but almost, you know. So it's, you know, farmers and psychics and truck drivers and housewives who have made, maybe they've built the Garden of Eden in their backyard for the last 40 years, but they're not doing it to get into our museum. This is art that comes from a really deep place.
Art from the heart. How about that?
Art from the heart. Yeah, Art from the Heart's one of my favorite nonprofits here in Baltimore.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, is that what sets Rebecca? I'm intrigued, and I learned so much because I love the American Visionary Arts Museum, but I love to learn what's behind the story. Is the key to your museum? And I look when you read about it, it talks about, you know, your idea of a visionary museum and that you wanted to specialize in showcasing, as you just alluded to, the work of self-taught and visionary artists and intuitive and creative invention, so to speak. Is the key that this can be any this is sort of the everyman museum, another everyman and woman, that for non-artists this is a chance for them to come in and put their wares on display?
Well, it's you know, we have to be selective because there's a lot of people
right.
who make things out there. They're not real for me. They're like the true artists, you know. They have this deep connection to what is inside of them. We often say that when the life experience becomes too big for words, be it a devastation, a loss, or some unbelievable, unexpected joy, you'll see people who have never made art before start expressing themselves because they have so much inside to express. And that's what we share in a thematic format. So right now we have the largest art science exhibition up on climate change and the state of our earth anywhere, but with giant, the most gorgeous green monkeys, life size, that are made with such care, with just so many facts about putting in plain language why 4 little degrees centigrade makes a devastating difference to climate. So we're trying to always, you know, as we said, you know, whether you're a kindergarten kid or a Nobel Prize winner, we have been privileged to work with the Hubble and to be the place they celebrated, you know, their big 25th anniversary 5 years ago. And, you know, we also do over 100 weddings a year. And so we're hurting now because so many had to be canceled. But again, I so applaud this governor for doing the right thing and so early on. And we, you know, we had a huge free climate change program from the Rivada Foundation with speakers coming in from all over, all free with, you know, hundreds of people signed up. And we had to cancel that, et cetera. But, you know, we've just been so thankful to be in the land of pleasant living as well. I think, you know, I was born in Maryland. I've lived all over the world. And I'm so proud to have given my big baby here, you know, to our own state, you know.
Rebecca Albin-Hofbarger is our guest. She's at the American Visionary Arts Museum as the founder, and I've seen her so many times down there in the big glittery building with big glittery things outside. You can find them at avvam.org. You know, we're Baltimore positive, and someone like you and your husband and background, and to say we have a vision, we want to do this. You built that in front of what you correct me, but I would call it a junkyard at the time, 20, 25 years ago, what is now the Ritz was not the Ritz at that point. It was sort of an abandoned sort of looking facility, and you built that thing there and said in the future, 5, 10, 15, 20, 30 years now, that there's going to be a Ritz here, and there's going to be a Rusty Scupper over there, and there's going to be, you know, food markets around the corner, and Key Highway is going to be a key, you know, cog to get Nestor and his wife from here to there to 95. 25, and Port Covington's going to come. There has to be, and you say visionary art, right? There has to be some vision for all of this, and especially amidst COVID, where we are, where we're going. I remember Nights on the Hills, watching your movie and the vision of doing all that, and how beautiful Baltimore is out. You know, I proposed to my wife about 50 feet from your museum, right? I mean, when I proposed to my wife, I did it on the top of Federal Hill, on the bench, you know, right next to the cannon, you know, right where we, right around the corner from where we sit, and dogs and cats run and all that. So
Rebecca, you didn't know you were going to be in the middle of an episode of The Bachelor, did you?
No,
that's a love story, a real love story.
What I'm saying is there's a vision that visionaries have that you have to see around the corner and down the hill a little bit. You clearly had that about downtown Baltimore, and as we've gone through this post-Freddie Gray and the troubles that we have, the reason if everything was awesome here, I probably wouldn't have created Baltimore Positive. I'd be talking baseball like I've done the last 30 years. We're trying to make it better, and this slowdown we've had, we all need to evaluate how we're going to come out of this, and where the Visionary Art Museum and where the Ritz-Carlton and the Rusty's, all of our neighborhoods, where my home, what the Inner Harbor, and Don and I have spent a long time talking about Governor Schaefer and his vision for the Inner Harbor that played into your vision for your museum, right? Mm-hmm. And the vision for the Museum of Industry when we talked to those folks earlier in the week. The vision of downtown, we all want to see it better 10 years from now. And I would have think 40 years ago there was no Visionary Art Museum to see when Don Schaefer saw Harbor Place and the Science Center and the Hyatt and the Aquarium. We're all trying to figure out what the next thing is here. Mm-hmm. And I think we turn to people like you that bet your whole soul and your life here when you could be in Paris right now if you chose mm-hmm. to be, right?
Well, if they'd have me, I don't know. You know, I didn't take salary for 15 years. So I kind of impoverished myself, honestly. It was, but you know, I've never needed. I never get my hair done or my nails done or that kind of stuff. You know, but what I wanted to really focus on is indeed where do we go from here? And actually, during our Big Hope show, I went to study the city of Medellin in Colombia that went from murder capital of the world to the most studied turnaround city in the world in just 10 years and have sustained and grown upon those strengths. They have less than one half of our per capita murder rate. And it's very interesting what they did. And it's possible. And it's not a 20 or 30 year program. So because I'm also interested in climate change, you know, the Chesapeake Bay area is sinking at twice the level of any other part of the East Coast. So there are things that we should be mindful of when we do development, so we don't bankrupt the banks and the, you know, the lending institutions, the insurance companies, but we could rebuild Baltimore with safe delivery water systems, et cetera, that could make it really a shining city by the water. And that's so good for the whole. I mean, I live in Baltimore County. I was born here. I love it. And I really feel that this whole region acts as, you know, as strong as any one component of it. And I know that we've pulled together before, and I'm excited at the creativity that can come if we learn our lessons well, that we can have the biggest renewal that will be studied all around the world. If we're
talking my language, right?
I can't let that go. I can't let that go without saying to you, we're going to have a mayoral election here soon. We're going to have a primary in June. Nestor and I are going to be talking with the major mayoral candidates in just a couple of weeks, 1 month before the election. Whoever is elected mayor, let's assume they reach out, a la a Don Schaefer, to 20 or 30 of the most influential Baltimore citizens and meets with them not only as a panel but individually. And he calls Rebecca Hofberger, he or she calls Rebecca Hofberger into the office and says, all right, Rebecca, give me three or four things that as mayor I need to start doing right now to turn this city around. What's on your list?
I have four things.
Okay.
Number
one. After taking notes. Just
yeah.
Well, I've already Googled up Medellin and seen the cable cars. And, you know, I have so many. I have friends that live in Medellin and you know, and the soccer and the drug background. It's incredible because Medellin to the world is what Baltimore is when I wear a Raven hat and people say, oh, you live there? You know, Rebecca, they used to say Cal Ripken and Crab Cakes. Now they don't say that anymore after David Simon made The Wire. So that was really the birth of all this. So I've got my pen and paper out. Four ideas to fix Baltimore.
So you're in the office of the new mayor, he or she. They say, Rebecca, walk me through it. Tell us what your four things are, Rebecca.
My fourth thing, boy, you're putting me on the spot right away, but I'm going to go, maybe not in order of importance. I understand that after several years of trying, that Busboys and Poets is coming from Washington, D.C. Andy Shalal, who ran for mayor there, has a place which brings in the great writers and thinkers, but it's also a safe place versus a club that might attract some more violence, et cetera, to bring a young friend of all different, kind of religious and ethnic backgrounds. There's no place now for the kids from Coppin and Morgan and Hopkins and Maryland Institute College of Art in Towson to kind of safely go and bring their out-of-town friends and show off Baltimore where it's not a little bit dicey. And that would be such a blessing to get that young generation to have a great place to go to. Secondly, I would very much look at the curriculum of the Baltimore Lab School to be instigated in all the public schools. It would invigorate both the teachers, but also is the most, I think, fascinating way of teaching. So look that one up, lab school, but what they've been able to do with kids who have learning differences that in very short time often surpass their quote-unquote kind of normal or above normal bright siblings.
BaltimoreLabSchool.org. There you go.
Yep, that would be, but that it's the way that Sally Smith developed the teaching. The third thing is we've got to stop giving money and tax breaks to development in areas that are very clearly in the bright red, going to be inundated by water in a very short time, because we cannot pay for the infrastructure to have access to them. So to pour money in that, which has happened, and I don't want to mention a specific large developer, but he got $500 million worth of infrastructure from a city that's really poor. The other thing is we're going to have to find a way to do a more equitable tax system for Baltimore City. I know they're going to need money more than ever before, but what I would do is I would reach out to the best thinkers to talk about making Baltimore the greenest city in America, to kick start some new industry at GM, et cetera. I think, you know, we lead in asthma, not in all neighborhoods, but in specific neighborhoods. So I'm entertaining now this incredible Scott Brown, an inventor that can take with zero off-gassing anything that's not radioactive, no matter how toxic, because there's no off-gassing, and reduce it to its molecular components, but with a plus generation of energy. So we need to get off the antiquated grid, and we need to fix the infrastructure that's under Baltimore that in many cases is really, poisoning our waters, et cetera, and that is constantly breaking, et cetera. But there's a way of going about this that I think would make Baltimore, we're already the poster boy, as you were saying, Esther, for some negative aspects, when there's so much good. And I think that if we can begin strategically turning it around, boy, oh boy, the whole world would take notice.
Well, we're going to get back on when this when the Visionary Arch is back open. I'm going to come see you, give you a hug. If I can, I hope I can get within 5.5 feet of you before it's all over.
Me too. Oh, I want that from both of you and equal here. And to all your listeners, you know what? Please know that there have been many challenges in life before, and this is a great one for this generation and the generation even before it. But I think we have a chance to rebirth a fairer, more beautiful, more loving place than ever before, and hopefully a healthier one.
Well, Rebecca, before you, I love that message. Before you run, what excites you? Leave our listeners with what excites you about reopening. When you're talking with your staff and you're saying, look, we're going to be better on the other side. What are you excited about when we reopen regarding the museum?
We have such love for the people who come through, you know. It's such a varied crowd. There are people who never go to museums, along with cognoscenti that fly in just to see our museum. So the first thing we want to do is reschedule our climate show from the Rivada Foundation. We have a temporary hold for August 2nd, and so that's a free time where we can really embrace people and then put the conference for free, film on YouTube. But I want to get our brides back in. So many of them are waiting to do that. But also, nobody has a better gift shop in the United States than Ted Frankel's Sideshow, which is always free to go to. And and we're hoping, we have a new cafe from Irena Stein from the Asafron and from Cafe Alma that will be opening.
That's my
up.
People now. You're talking Venezuelan now. Come on.
Yeah, Venezuelan cuisine that would be open during the day when museum hours are
so
open.
So hold on. I can come get an arepa from...
An arepa. She makes the best in the world. Yep.
She does.
When we reopen, that will be up.
Well, you give her my love when you tell her and tell her I want the first one when it comes over there because I live in a neighborhood.
Okay.
I don't know if I want chicken, beef, pork, or veggie, but I want one.
Okay, well, that would... Oh, and the other thing I would do, by the way, is plant Polonia. Right now, they're listed as an invasive species, but there's only one of the 23 that are truly invasive. And they grow 5 to 20 feet in the first year. They gobble up 11 times more carbon dioxide from the atmosphere than any other tree that exists. So look up Paulownia, World Trade... World Tree Organization, and I would be planting Polonia everywhere. They grow fast. That's what you see, those purple dotted, when you drive down 83 in the first week of May, you see those purple dotted blossoms. That's an amazing tree. It's a sacred tree of Japan and China, but it grows here wild, but it does so much good. So,
well, if it grows purple, it's perfect for us, right? Yeah.
Nestor, Rebecca has inspired me, and this is what happens on this show, that we need in the future, sometime in the next few months, to do a special week like we've done on other topics devoted to climate change. And Rebecca, obviously, you'll be one of our guests on that show. It's obviously something you've thought quite a bit about and are passionate about. I think it would be a great topic for us to take a look into. But in the meantime, tell folks, if they want to come, they want to bring their family, what does it cost for us to come down and visit the American Visionary Arts Museum?
Well, all SNAP families, all Armed Force Blue Star program are free. But we don't get, you know, public support by governmental support on the level that the others do. So it's like $16.95 a person. It's a lot. But it's what it's been now for the past 10 years. But what we do is we do free events on a mega scale that we well advertise so that coming and experiencing the whole Visionary Art Museum is never a barrier to anyone. On our website at avam.org, and then if you have a group, et cetera. But we really, make sure that people who would like to come, SNAP families, et cetera, that's the foods supplement work, are always, always welcome. And others who may, after this, find it tight, we have a free Sock Monkey, 4th of July pet parade we're hoping we're still able to do. That's always free and so much fun.
Movies on the Hill? No.
And Movies on the Hill, we're still hoping we...
I'll stay 6 feet apart.
Hey, Nestor, you know you travel a lot, and I travel a lot. Rebecca, I'm going to put something on your plate before we jump out of here, and it's really come up in my mind just by talking to all of you who are so important in the arts community in these discussions. Is that I know that when we visited Italy, and then when we visited England, and in France, I'm thinking of those three places specifically, there were opportunities for us as tourists in those areas to buy some name or shape or some form, something called a museum pass, where I could for X amount of dollars, I could go to 5 museums or 6 museums. So I'm going to suggest to you that at some point it might be a great thing for Baltimore to have some version of that, its own museum pass, where all of our museums working with the city and the state got together, where not only visitors, but those of us who live locally could buy an annual museum pass that would get us into all the museums.
We do have that. It's not an annual one, but through the Visit Baltimore Heart, there's a harbor pass for all of the different groups down there. And we do participate. You're smarty. No, that absolutely has been, a blessing that we love to participate in.
I'm looking on here right now. Deals and discounts, Baltimore.org, Visit Baltimore. So there you go, Al. I'll give you a plug. I'm going to get him on next week, too. So, Rebecca, I can't wait to get back over. I'm sorry we missed Sante and the National Kidney Foundation and my dear friend Michelle Jackman putting that together. I know we're going to reschedule that. It's always at your place. I've had many, many events down there, second floor, first floor, eating events, city paper events, events up on the hill. We appreciate having you in our neighborhood and appreciate you being one of the bright lights, and we're definitely going to be circling back to have you on again soon.
Oh, can't wait. Thank you for what you do. You make an art of this. So keep giving the most beautiful things out there for people to hold on to, because they're real.
Let's get it back. Rebecca Alban Hofberger, our guest here on Baltimore Positive. Big thanks to her at the American Visionary Art Museum. You can find them at avam.org, avam.org, right around the corner from where I proposed to my wife, and people watch movies on the hill and get dinner at the Scupper and walk around beautiful, historic Federal Hill. I mean, nothing more Federal Hill than AVAM, for sure. You can find me, Nasty, at WNST.net. Don Moeller, also available, doing the Baltimore Positive thing together, because there's no more sports other than a little draft. We are WNST.net, AM 1570. We're keeping calm, we're staying local, and we're abiding in our Baltimore Positive kind of way.